That's trumpeter Alex Massa and a piece titled When the Saints Refuse to March. This is Jazz Nightly on listener-supported South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Good evening, I'm Carl Gerke. Thanks for tuning in for today's program. Trumpeter Alex Massa was born and raised in the Black Hills, but for nearly 5 years now, New Orleans has been his home. He's lived in the Crescent City since early 2013. His mission has been to learn as much as he can about the music, culture, food, and people of New Orleans. Massa is back in South Dakota. Tomorrow evening is performing during Jazz Night at the Pavilion in downtown Sioux Falls. Music begins at 7:30, and Alex Massa is with me on the line. And Alex, welcome to Jazz Nightly.
Thanks, Carl.
That track we just heard, was that an original of yours?
You could say that. It was technically a free track, if you will. The engineer pushed record, and I started playing, and the band followed.
Is that the sort of way you like to work? Let things happen?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, I love writing for different combinations of ensembles, and I love spontaneous composition as well. You know, it's all the same, and it's all legitimate, and it all kind of breathes a different style and different inspiration in its own right.
Now, that piece said that solid New Orleans rhythm to it. The drummer was laying down.
Yeah, kind of a variation on the New Orleans street beat. That the name of that drummer is Sean Myers. He's one of my favorite drummers to work with down there in New Orleans, originally from California, I believe. And he's been down there for a little bit longer than I have. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about being down there is you play all of that traditional New Orleans music so much that it gets ingrained into everything you play. And so even when you think you're getting away from it, it's still there, whether you think about it or not.
So even though you're from South Dakota, just living in New Orleans, you're just absorbing everything.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Now, the thing about New Orleans is the city is just alive with music. Is that something that when you're just walking down the street, there's just music everywhere? Is it just embedded into the culture of New Orleans?
Yeah. It literally and figuratively is in the air. I mean, when you walk down, you know, one of the popular music streets, it's playing everywhere, but also it's in the way that people talk, and it's in the way that the locals walk, and it's in how they talk to you, and in the dialect, and everything. I mean, everything swings there. Everything swings, and it gives way to that looseness of life, and you know, perhaps one of the reasons they call it the Big Easy. Everyone is, you know, they're walking, but it's a different kind of walk, and, you know, when they parade, it's a different kind of parading, and when they cook, it's a different way of cooking, and everything about the way that the locals and native New Orleanians do things is special and unique, and there is music and rhythm in the way that they do it.
You've been there, as I understand, for about 4.5 years. Do you feel like this is your home? Do you feel like you fit into New Orleans as a South Dakota native?
That's a difficult question. I mean, I think everyone's always trying to find home, but it's at this point in my life, it's home. I relate to a lot of the ways that people do things there, and the ease as well as the intensity that they expect from the people that are playing their music. It's not it's no laughing matter, but at the same time, it is, if that makes sense.
So you have to show that you can do it, that you know what you're playing, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, and if you don't know, that's okay, but expressing that is the first step to understanding, right?
Yeah.
And I think that just knowing that you don't know something is greater sometimes than the knowledge you get after that.
Now, as I mentioned, you were born and raised in the Black Hills, grew up in Rapid City, I believe. Was music a part of your upbringing?
Yeah, I started taking piano lessons when I was 7. I never took them seriously, and I never wanted to practice. But whenever I did sit down at the piano, I was just kind of, I was always kind of just writing and composing, not necessarily writing anything down, but I wasn't a big fan of practicing anything out of the books that were given to me. And my instructor knew that, and we kind of went with that. And then I picked up I started playing the drums, when I was in fifth grade. And then in seventh grade, the band teacher basically said, we have way too many drummers and only three trumpet players and two trombonists. So he asked if anybody wanted to switch, and I was the only person that raised my hand. And from that point on, I was a trumpet player.
Did you feel like this was your instrument when you first picked it up, or did it, or is this something that grew on you after a while as you learned to master the trumpet?
I mean, sometimes I still don't feel that it's my instrument, but it's definitely grown on me over time, and I loved it when I picked it up. I didn't realize how hard it was going to be when I did pick it up, though.
Now, your brother's a trumpeter too, right?
Yes, he is, living down in Las Vegas right now.
Did he follow you as a trumpet player, or you know, who picked up the instrument first?
I picked up the trumpet first, and then he picked it up and immediately schooled me on everything.
So he was the better musician on the trumpet first?
I mean, different musician, but he's a natural at a lot of things, and he picked it up and just did it.
When did you first hear and get interested in jazz?
In jazz music? I mean, the very first sounds that I can remember hearing, my grandparents, who are not living anymore from my dad's side, we got all their records, and I remember looking at two records, and one of them said Sonny Rollins, and one of them said Dukes of Dixieland, and literally the very first thing I remember hearing from actual music was the street beat from New Orleans, the shaka-do-haka-do-shaka-do-shaka-do-shaka-do-shaka-do-shaka-ha. And then after that, it was, I think, Sonny Rollins playing the theme to, he was playing like a bunch of show themes, like Alfie and something else. But those were kind of the first sounds I heard. And then after that, when I got into the trumpet, you know, my first record that I picked up that I ever bought for myself was Miles Davis, Complete Birth of the Cool. Mm-hmm.
And it just grew from there. You just started delving more and more into jazz, studying it and practicing.
Yeah, it's been, yeah, that's basically it. And I eventually went to college up in Aberdeen at Northern State University and had kind of a wealth of knowledge at my fingertips with the trumpet professor up there, who was Dr. Grant Manhart. And he introduced a lot of people, including me, to a lot of this music through big band literature and through traditional New Orleans jazz. And then the saxophone professor up there, Fred Hemke, was introducing a lot of people to bebop and more modern jazz, if you will.
Was this an exciting time, being introduced to this music and just going, wow, this is amazing. I want to do this.
Yeah, it was exciting, but it's also overwhelming and kind of intimidating, just because there's such a history and a culture and an understanding behind it that when I lived up here, I wasn't able to comprehend. Kind of as soon as I got out of South Dakota and started meeting people from all over the world, you know, I worked on a cruise ship for a while, and then I went up to graduate school in Winnipeg, and everything started making more sense, and it's been this continuous evolution of my knowledge of this history and this culture that we call jazz and Black American music.
This is South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, Jazz Nightly. My guest is trumpeter Alex Massa. Born and raised in the Black Hills, he now lives in New Orleans. He's playing in Sioux Falls during Thursday's Jazz Night at the Pavilion. He's with me on the line. And Alex, when did you decide that you wanted to go to New Orleans?
I decided I want to go to New Orleans. It was about October 13th of 2012 when I was studying in Winnipeg, and I had gotten kicked out of Canada due to some visa issues. And the a couple months before that, about 2 months, 3 months before that, this brass band that I was a part of in Winnipeg, it was called the Dirty Catfish Brass Band. We were playing all this traditional New Orleans brass band material, and you know, some of the modern traditional Rebirth brass band, Soul Rebels. And we also played this song by the incredible funk band called Galactic. And we ended up playing with them on the main stage of the Winnipeg Folk Festival to a crowd of 18 or 20,000 people on the final night. And afterwards, the trombonist Corey Henry kind of looked at all of us and when we were backstage with him and said, "Have you all been to New Orleans?" And we said no, and he goes, "Well, you should get down there." And so a couple months later, when I got turned away at the border, there was only one real thing that flashed through my head, and that was New Orleans. I had never been there, and I didn't really know much about it other than my hero Louis Armstrong was born there, and the trombonist from Galactic told me to go down. So I was kind of winding my way around the United States for 3 months and eventually made my way down to New Orleans and decided to call it home.
What was that like as a young man from South Dakota, New Orleans for the first time, a place that, as you mentioned, you'd never been before?
It was awesome and terrifying.
How long did it take for you to find musicians and people to play with?
It took me no time at all. There's plenty of music down there, and there's plenty of musicians down there, and it's all just been a continual learning process. When I first got down there, I met this trumpet player named Brandon Lewis, who introduced me to another trumpet player named Ashlyn Parker, who put together this group that came to be called the Trumpet Mafia, and that was a really beautiful way of being introduced to the city's music scene. And I owe a lot of my success and a lot of my beginning knowledge to the Trumpet Mafia, which allowed me to work with other projects. And that, you know, like they say, the rest is history.
Are you constantly working down there? Is music the main thing? You're able to make that your whole life?
Yeah, you know, some other things revolve around that. Like I do a little bit of teaching, which is also music, you know, trumpet and piano, writing, and then I help produce some shows and some music series around the area. But like everything revolves around music. Every now and then I do get the chance to do some odd jobs that I always take with pleasure that have nothing to do with music, because I'm sure as most people listening know, it's nice to get out of what you do every now and then. And so recently I've been taking just some random painting gigs that are, you know, 1 or 2 day things that I'll just go to a house and kind of zone out for a couple hours. And before you know it, you have an entire house painted.
When you were, say, a young man in high school learning the trumpet or even in college, did you have any sort of vision that this would be the sort of thing you would be doing some 10 or so years later?
Somewhat. I think deep inside of my soul, I really wanted to do it, but I was afraid. And luckily, I had a professor that was able to see that, and he continued to pull it out of me every lesson. And the same trumpet professor, Dr. Manhart, and he would keep saying, if this is what you want, you have to do it. And I eventually started to believe what I wanted and keep working harder and kept learning more and more. And what I really wanted, even though I didn't always want to admit it to myself, became more and more of a reality. And it's not like my vision was to become a trumpet star. It was just to understand how to play the trumpet. And, you know, I'm still working on that every day. It's not like you wake up one day and you win. It's actually quite the opposite. So Yes, I kind of saw it, but I was afraid of it for so long because it's such a huge thing to comprehend, especially as a young man in South Dakota or as anybody anywhere.
Now it sounds like, and I hear this from not just musicians, but people in all sorts of different fields. It seems like that the more you learn, the more you study, the more you know how little you actually know and how much more you have to learn and study to really master whatever it is that you're doing.
Exactly. Every day I wake up and I put the horn to my lips or I put my fingers to my piano, I realize how little I know. And sometimes it can be overwhelming, and like in any field, it can make people dark. And that's why it's so important to have friends and people around you that can pull you out and remind you that the whole world doesn't rely on you knowing this one little thing, even though that's sometimes hard to listen to.
Well, Alex Massa, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Jazz Nightly.
Thanks, Carl. This was awesome. I really appreciate it.